Today we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about that theme of love. And I specifically want to talk about this idea of the better lover. I'll explain what I mean as we get through that. But probably the best way for us to talk about love, the most relatable way for us to talk about love, is by talking about relationships. We all have them. Some of you might not like people so much, but you have relationships. Maybe you have better relationships with your pets. Maybe you have a relationship with a job. That's where you find most of your value and worth. But nonetheless, we understand love by talking about relationships. We like, this has always been the story of our life, right? From when we were little kids, we liked the stories of Prince Charming that would pop up in stories like Sleeping Beauty or Snow White and Cinderella. We liked the story of Beauty and the Beast, Romeo and Juliet, Phantom of the Opera, among many other different types of stories. One of the most popular genres of books are books in the crime and mystery genre. $724 million. So just think John Grisham. Books like that, $724 million. But you know what? $1.4 billion was spent on romantic novels in 2022. Double of what we would think is popular. Some of you are like, what? $1.4 billion spent on romantic novels. If you think about it, much and perhaps a majority of culturally popular music from every generation, the 60s were pretty popular, I mean the 1960s, Doc, the 60s were good. You have Elvis Presley, right? I can't help but what? Falling in love with it, right? You have the 80s and the popular The Greatest Love of All, Whitney Houston song. You have any of the Taylor Swift tropes today are all full of some sort of love, whether it's self-love or hatred love or something like that. But a lot of those songs are all about, most of the music, it seems like it's about love. And so I want to talk about this idea or this theme of love that we feature, that we talk about more, that we see a lot in our culture today. So four guides, kind of four points this morning to kind of guide our thinking through this. First, we're going to look at love itself, all right? Secondly, we're going to look at lovers, different lovers that we have or where we go to look. Third, we're going to look at the better lover. And then four, how can we get that love? All right? So love, lovers, the better lover, and then how can we get that love, this love that I'm going to talk about. You know, we all want to experience true love, don't we? Real love. We want love that is, we want a love in our life that is unconditional. We want someone to love us for who we are, right? We want someone to accept us and be okay with us, no matter if we have smelly feet, no matter if our nose is a little crooked, no matter if whatever you fill in the blank, we want somebody to accept us and be okay with us. We don't want people to turn away from us because we're not perfect. We want to have a love with no strings attached, in the sense of, meaning a love where we don't have to continually perform or earn or keep it. We want a love with no strings. We want a restful love, that is. We want a permanent love. We want an unconditional love. All of those things that unconditional love exemplifies. Don't you want that kind of love? We also want a love that's truthful. Now, it might be uncomfortable, but we do want a love, and it's desired for us to have a love that is truthful. Deep down inside of you, you want someone who will tell you the truth. You don't really want somebody to lie to you. Now, there is one exception to this, fellas. When your wife asks you if an outfit looks good on her, the answer is always what? Yes, always, even if it's not the truth. I made this mistake one time with my sister. We were out shopping, me and her and my mother, and I don't remember how old we were teenagers, And she came out and she said to me, "Matt, does this make me look good?" And I said, "Nope." And to this day, she remembers that. She could tell you the store and that it was the second dressing room from the left. Do not make that mistake. But we ultimately want someone to tell us the truth. Not just what we want to hear. Why? Because we want people in our lives that we can trust. If somebody always told you just what you wanted to hear, you wouldn't trust them. And we don't want that kind of love in our life, really. We also in our lives want a sacrificial love. Volumes and volumes are spoken when someone gives something to you or does something for you that costs them. It might cost them, if you think about it, if they use or spend their time, their resources, or they give of their own selves. We notice that. And we view that differently, don't we? We have a higher esteem for that kind. That's the kind of love that we want in our life. Sacrificial actions speak a lot about not only the one that's giving, but it also speaks about what they think of you. And that's the kind of love that you want. You know why? Because it brings a security that no other type of love does. It brings meaning to you and to who you are and what they think about you. We all want love like that in our lives. No doubt you also want someone to go to war for you too, right? You want somebody that with a love that will intercede for you, a love that advocates for you, a love that stands up for you, even when you're wrong. Do you want this kind of love? I think you do. I think everybody does. I think that's why our culture features love and finding love and expresses love and what it's like in books and $1.4 billion worth of romantic novels in any of the modern music or from any genre or any age. No, it's no wonder our culture writes and sings about love. It's because we all want love. And so, you, along with everybody else, goes looking for love. And so we find love in different places. In other words, where does one experience this kind of love? Where can you get it? Who can give it to you? And so we go looking for it in a lover. Some people, let's say that you think that some people go looking for it in a spouse. This is probably one of the most common. Maybe not necessarily just a spouse, but a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a significant other person, a soulmate, whatever word that you want to use. We go looking for this love in this person because we want this ultimate love. Let me ask you this question. How's that going? Has that person where you thought would love you unconditionally, has that person always been unconditionally loving? You ever felt like you had to walk on eggshells with that person? Think about this. How about earlier in the years of your relationship, you know, the times when you were dating, when you were trying to woo each other, when you were, you know, the first days. You think about when you were first married, maybe even when you just kind of clock watched and couldn't wait to get off of work, and or you would manipulate time or sacrifice your schedule or do whatever, angle yourself to get out of work early just so you could see that person. How's that going? Ladies, you wanted Prince Charming. After a few months, did you wonder if he moved out? Fellas, some of you think that ultimate love is expressed, or our culture does at least, thinks that ultimate love is expressed through physical love. Let's say that you find what the culture calls that trophy wife. Well, what happens when that trophy wife starts to collect the dust of age? What happens when her body changes because she's having your kids? Some people, they find their identity and worth in their kids. You say, well, yeah, I know what you're talking about with that spouse thing. Ugh. Prince Charming lasted all but 2 seconds. And now he leaves his socks and his dirty underwear everywhere, and I just can't handle that. So I just find my ultimate value, my love in kids, in my kids. What happens when you have to discipline your kid and the kid gets angry with you and they don't want to talk to you? What happens when your kid says, and typically this happens, they say, "I hate you," whether or not they mean it? What happens when your kids move away? What happens when they marry somebody someday and they choose to, oh, let's say, spend holidays like Christmas with their spouse's family instead of you? How does that make you feel? As I said, some people find their ultimate love in perhaps something like a job. Your job gives you meaning and worth. What happens if you lose that job? You give yourself to the job, you're faithful to the job, and yet you keep getting passed over for that promotion. You haven't had a raise in years. Love is not reciprocated, it seems. Maybe your company has to reorganize and your job description changes, including things that complicate your life. Do you still find your ultimate value and love in that job still, as you once did? For some people, it's their pets. Now, how do I know this? I know this because people put clothes on their pets. Now, if you do this, I am not saying anything bad about that to your face anyway. I'm just joking. But some people do. What happens, though, when that pet's gone or that pet runs away? What happens in that situation? Listen, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get you to think. If you're here and you're thinking, man, I hope that you have fulfilling and wonderful and good relationships. I hope you have a great marriage. I hope you love your pets. I hope that you enjoy your job. That's not what I'm saying, not at all. Don't hear that. What I am trying to get you to do is just trying to get you to think about everybody. I mean, our culture features all of this stuff about love. We want this ultimate kind of love. We want a sacrificial, we want a consistent, we want a freeing, we want a restful, all of those things that we think love should be, we want that. We want a love. I read 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. We want a love that never blame. We want a love that never finds fault. We want a love that's always in place. It's never like a symbol that like gongs and out of tune right in the middle of a great symphony orchestra, and it just makes the whole, makes it ugly. We want a beautiful love in our life. That's what we want to express and have and experience in our lives. And so we go looking for it in these different lovers. And I'm just asking you, how's it going? Has it really delivered like you thought it would? And you can have great marriages and you can have great, but has it really lived up to everything that you thought it would be? And I would say to you, it hasn't. I'm just trying to get you to think about if it really delivers what you think, provide and allow you to experience that love that you long for. I hope you have great, again, please, I'm trying to apologize here just so that way you don't misunderstand, but I'm just trying to get you to think. We want this love, and are we getting it from these things? These are not the only things. Some people think love comes, like if they find ultimate value and worth in love and other things as well. They receive it. They think they get it from other things. Have they really provided for you the ultimate sacrificial, the ultimate truthful, unconditional love that you really want? And I say that they can't. Let me make my case to you for that. You know, people are broken just like you. They're not perfect. You know, your dog is your best friend as long as you have the treat in your hand, but this moment somebody else does, they're gone. And your cat, oh, if you've got cats, that cat's fooled you to thinking he even cares about you at all. None of these relationships is that ultimate fulfilling love that you're deep down looking for. They always will at some point disappoint. They can't give you, I think you know that by experience. Listen, my wife, she should expect, and I intend to love her like this. I intend to love her sacrificially, to love her truthfully. I intend to love her unconditionally, but I fail. If she ever thinks that I can love her perfectly, if I can perfectly and consistently provide that kind of love to her, guess what? She's in for a rude awakening, and she has been. she's going to be unhappy the rest of her life if she thinks that I am the one. I would be a horrible God to her. I am a horrible. She'll live a disappointed life. I don't love her like I should. I don't. I fail. I'm not always sacrificial. I'm not always unconditional in my love for her. And I think if you were honest with yourself, you know that you're not the best lover either. And I think if you were honest with yourself, then you know that that person in which, or that thing, that lover in which you are looking for that ultimate, can't ultimately provide that. You can't expect and you can't, again, you can't expect and you can experience. Great. There's great marriages, wonderful marriages. There are some people in this church who have been together 60 plus years. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's wonderful. But can you find that ultimate love in that person? But this morning I want to tell you about number three, the better lover. Or maybe you could say the best lover, but I want to tell you about Jesus this morning. Jesus is the better lover. Only in Jesus can you find and experience unconditional love. Unconditional every time. Consistently, permanently, for eternity. He's the only one. Do you know that Jesus already knows everything about you? You know, all of the stuff that you've never told somebody, all of the stuff that you, that nobody knows about but you, that you think you've gotten away with, or the things that are deep down inside, or maybe scars from the past, things you did when you were a kid, or things you did yesterday, or whatever, that nobody knows about. Do you know that Jesus knows all of those things right now? He knows everything about you. And even though you've done all of those things, he loves you unconditionally. How do I know that? I know that because he demonstrated his unconditional love for you by paying for that sin that you committed that nobody knows about. God gave you his son God gave the gift of his son to this earth, the Advent, which we celebrate in this season. He loved us. Doc mentioned the verse in his prayer. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. Why? So that son could, he unconditionally loved you. He didn't say, hey, guess what? If you clean up here and you clean up this, and if you're a little bit better, if you earn or you deserve this, then I'm going to rescue you. Then I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life. He didn't do that. He loved everyone unconditionally. And how do we know that? Because he sent his son to die. Jesus paid for those penalties before you were even born or thought of on the cross. Listen, you turned your back on God, and he doesn't treat you poorly. He doesn't treat you differently. If you're unfaithful and you're adulterous, spiritually speaking, let's say, if you continually betrayed, you know, if you continually betrayed somebody, after a while that person would be like, nah, they're not trustworthy. There'd be conditions, but you know what Jesus did? This is what Jesus did. And I love the language that Hosea uses. Hosea is an Old Testament prophet. And Hosea says this, and I will betroth you to me forever. And I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and in steadfast love and in mercy. In other words, this is Hosea the prophet is speaking. This is God speaking to the people at that time and speaking to us today. And he's using this metaphor of marriage, this betrothal, this idea of being married to somebody. And God uses this because he knows that we're looking for love. He knows that we all want to experience love. He knows that you want this ultimate love. And so he says, you're going to go looking for it in a spouse. But I'm telling you that I love you, that I'm the better lover. He uses this, I'm pursuing you. I desire you. I want you. I want to give you my son Jesus and his righteousness. And he does all of that knowing all about your sinful heart, knowing all about your betraying heart. Friends, can there be any more unconditional love than that? Jesus' love is also the greatest sacrificial love you could ever experience. God's word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for our sake, he, that is God, made Jesus, him, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, that is in Jesus, we sinners might become the righteousness of God. Do you see that here? Jesus took all of the punishment for your sin, and he paid the penalty that you should have paid, and he sacrificially did that for you. He stood in your place. He was your substitute. John 15, 13 says, no greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friends. And my friend, there's no greater love than the love of Jesus, because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate penalty for you. What greater sacrifice is this? Do all of us realize that when we turned our back on God, we committed cosmic treason. We committed the worst kind of, turning your back on the Creator God, we said no to him. And so therefore, in a sense, I like to say it this way, we earned the spiritual death penalty. But Jesus, in your place, in my place, took all of that penalty and all of that punishment, and he paid it for you. What greater sacrificial love is there than that? There's not. Your spouse can't do that for you. Your dog can't do that for you. Your job can't do that for you. But Jesus did it. He did all of that on the cross. I like the way when one person, if Jesus did all of that for you, if he paid the penalty of your sin, then what is it you can't tell him? You realize that God never gets shocked? God never is shocked, ever. To put it another way, do you realize that you can be more truthful with him than anyone else? He loves you more truthfully. What love is more truthful than that? I like the way one person put it. He put it like this. He said, love without truth, so loving somebody without telling the truth, is sentimentality. Just sentimental. It supports and affirms us, but it keeps us in denial about our flaws. Do we really want that kind of love? He goes on to write, truth without love, though, is harsh. It gives us information, but it gives us that information in such a way that we can't really and won't hear it. But yet, God's saving love in Christ, however, is marked by both radical truthfulness about who we are and at the same time, radical, unconditional love about what he's done for us. My friends, what more truthful love is there than that? You say, you don't know me. You know what? Jesus already knows. He already paid the penalty for that. You can't shock him. You can be truthful with him. And you want to experience a love that goes to war for you, don't you? I remember one time, my sister Shelly and I, we were walking home from school one day. Where we lived, it was not too far from the school, and so we walked. And, you know, we were a typical brother and sister, right? So we didn't always get along. And so I remember this one time in particular, I think I've shared this story with you, but the precursor to the story is we were not, like, we were just being typical brother and sister that day. We were not on speaking terms. Like, I don't know what she did, but it was probably, whatever it was, her fault, because it typically was. And it was not good. So we were walking home, and we weren't even walking together. Like, she was in front of me or whatever, I can't remember. And this little bully dude was walking by or whatever, and he started in on my sister. Huh. And I was like, no, you don't. We want some, even when we're wrong, right? Even when we want somebody like that in our life, don't we? They're going to go to war for us. They're going to just come to our rescue. And my friend, Jesus went to war for you on the cross. And it was a lot worse than just a brother and sister fight. You turned your back on him, and he still went to war for you. Listen to this, Isaiah prophet, he said this, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned. Every one of us has turned away to his own way. And the Lord, even in turning, even in turning our back on him, even in rejecting him, and the Lord has laid on him, that is Jesus, the iniquity of all of us. You see, Jesus was pierced, and he was crushed, and he was wounded for you. What greater way than this has somebody gone to war for you? What greater way has somebody loved you than that? Listen, friend, there is no greater lover than Jesus. And when you know and you experience this love, and when he's your ultimate love, and you have a relationship with this lover, then guess what happens? You have a love that is more secure than any love that you've ever experienced. Ladies, you might have the greatest relationship in the world, but you still put on makeup. Guys, you might have the greatest trophy wife, or whatever, as they say, and all that sort of thing, and everything's great, but the dust of age still comes. You know what? You'll never have to wonder. Don't you ever, sometimes when people are nice to you, you ever wonder, I wonder why they're doing that? What do they want? You know, it's like your kid. Mom, you look really nice. What do you want? You don't ever have to wonder that about Jesus. Jesus knows everything you did, and he didn't back away. He moved towards you. He pursued you. He went after you. This love is the most freeing love that you would ever. You never have to hide anything. You don't have to be guarded because Jesus knows it. You don't have to fear in this kind of love either. You don't have to. There's no fear of rejection, and there's no fear of performance either. Hey, did I do enough? Because Jesus did it all. So the natural question is, I think if you think about your life and just how it's gone, and you could say, yeah, and again, I'm not saying anything bad about relationships, but I'm going to use my own marriage, my own life. I know there are times that I want to love her perfectly and intensely and sacrificially and truthfully and all those things, but I know there's times that I have not measured up, but there is one person who always measures up, and his name is Jesus. And so the fourth question then is how do you experience this love? How do you come into a relationship with this Jesus? And there's just really basic. You have to admit, first of all, you have to admit that you've rejected God and that you've made your own joy and your own happiness of your life your highest priority. You know that you have to admit that you don't really want to worship God and surrender yourselves surrender yourselves as your own master to him. So what you've done is you've clinged to things. You've centered your life on things that have promised to give you meaning. Things like success and relationships and influence and love, comfort and so on. And to live for anything else but God leads only to break down into decay. You know they don't ultimately measure up. Listen, when a fish leaves, I've used this illustration before, but when a fish leaves the water that he was built for, what happens? The fish dies. He's not free. The fish isn't free. He's dead. Worshipping other things besides God leads to spiritual death. It is spiritual death. It leads to loss of meaning. If you think you can achieve these things, then you're never going to be satisfied. Because those things in your life were never meant to be God's. And so you need to understand this and admit that they were never meant to replace God. Never. You need to admit that you've broken God's law, that you have looked for how to make yourself right and to fill that. Like you have one person put it this way. I remember it was Finney or some old guy said it was like a circle heart, like a circle hole in your heart, and everybody's trying to plug that circle hole with a square peg. It just doesn't work. So there first must be an admission that you're living as your own master. You must give your life. You admit that you're worshiping the wrong things. And then, secondly, you must turn. Turn is another word the Bible used for the word is repentance. It's not a word that we use often, but simply means turn. Turn from your stance and your willingness to live for yourself and to live and center your life on him. And not only, but at the same time, which means you're going to trust. You're going to turn and you're going to trust. You must believe in Jesus. Turn from trusting your own efforts. Turn from the object of your faith, your belief, into those things to the person and the work of Christ. You were relying on things before to make you acceptable, to find ultimate value and meaning, but now you consciously need to begin to rely upon what Jesus did for you to be accepted of God. All you need is just to believe. You don't need anything but to believe. Friend, you must believe in Jesus. Jesus is God himself. Come to earth. That's why we celebrate Christmas. He lived a perfect life. He loved God perfectly with all his heart and soul and mind, and he fulfilled all of the human obligations that we should have fulfilled to God. He did that for you. He lived the life that you owed, a perfect record. Then instead of receiving Jesus, instead of receiving the just reward that he had, you know what he did? He gave his life as a sacrifice, as a substitute, a substitute for you, taking on the punishment and the death each of us owed. And when we believe him to rescue us, when you trust him, then your sins are paid for. Your sins are atoned for. And his perfect life and his perfect record is transferred to your account. God accepts you and regards you as he does his son if you believe in Jesus. So the question is, how? How do you experience this true love? How do you understand this? How do you live? And it's by admitting that those things don't measure up. You've tried too long, that your object of your faith has not been in Christ, and turn and trust in Jesus alone. So have you done that in your life? If you're here this morning, or if you're listening online, have you turned and trust Jesus? Because you know what? Jesus is the better lover. We sing that song, he's the lover of my soul. He is the greatest lover. He'll love you better than anything else. He's done it, he's proved it. And so my friends, may you find true love. All-satisfying love beyond what any human being or pet or job or anything else can ever give you. And may you find it in Christ this Christmas season. If you don't know, if you want to talk about that love, I've got all the time in the world for you today. Let's talk about that love. I'd love for you to know that love of Jesus today. Thank you for listening today. I'd like to close in a word of prayer.